And we're back. We have not left the studio,
Yeah,
but we
haven't
did
even
add a
shaved. Holy
guest.
shit.
So I
Hello,
am still
everybody.
here with Greg Snyder of Birdfish, Ralph, last name
Oh,
unknown,
yeah. It's no, it is Ralph. That's Mr.
Okay, Mr. Ralph with Oh Wow. And now we have Marissa with Luvabella.
Hi.
Hello.
I was
So,
like, where's the camera? I don't want to like give anyone the cold shoulder here, so okay.
You're good. If you look up there, you'll be able to see
Okay.
whether or not you're in the shot or not in the shot. Every
Well,
once in a while,
we'll
I'll
see.
check. I am not contagious, I
Oh
promise.
no, I'm vaccinated, so I'm
Oh, me
good.
too.
I'm going
Cheers.
with the flow.
Cheers to
Yeah.
that. There we
Cheers.
go. So, switched over to wine from beer right now. So now I am
Okay.
drinking delicious blackberry. Like I was telling Marissa before, when you open the bottle of wine, you could like the smell was just, it was a delicious smell.
Thank
So it
you.
was really good.
Yeah, we do our best to make well-balanced wines that are also very fragrant, fresh, very fruit forward and palatable. So I know our blackberry has been really popular, especially locally. And ironically, we just gave the brand a facelift. I should have brought some wine, but classic, the shoemaker doesn't have shoes or the winemakers have wine. But of course, the beer makers had beer. So
I just brought
luckily,
fun.
Lisa had a
Lots of
bottle,
it.
but
It's in my pockets. It's
we really brightened the packaging. It's really cool to see. So you guys can see that on our social media, but it's exciting, same great taste and everything.
So I noticed when I corked it. It was a different style cork than you'll often see. And I did hear that there was at one point a cork shortage. But I don't know if that was pandemic related. I think that was just it might have been a tree relation thing, but like there was
Yeah.
a shortage. Does that changing up the cork have any impact on the flavor of the wine?
It can, but for us, we don't. A lot of our wines that we sell out in mass retail are not oaked, or you need to age for a long time. So we use
Okay.
synthetic cork to help prolong the freshness of our products. Natural cork can offer some faults here and there. That's why when you're at a fancy restaurant, they have you taste the wine first because most wines over $50 have natural cork. And
Oh.
sometimes it could offer a fault that isn't very pleasant on the palate. So that's why they do that little taste to make sure if you're going to buy that bottle, you're 100% all in to enjoy that whole thing at the table. So for us, we want to protect our wine and avoid issues like that. So we use synthetic cork for our products, and we are also using screw cap for convenience.
Oh, I do like the screw cap. I do
Yes.
like that.
Yeah, because
I
when you're
always wonder.
camping and you don't have a cork,
Yes.
that's
Oh, yeah.
corkscrew. Yeah,
It's
I
difficult.
ran into that like 2 weeks ago. And then we got the drill out and we were trying to
See,
drill the cork
MacGyver,
in
right?
with the screw and trying to pop it.
That's
We
right.
were
Well, you do have to do like lefty loosey, righty tighty. I mean,
right.
there's still
Yeah,
some,
some.
you have to use critical thinking skills at some point, right?
I was like, if I could just get enough air in there to be able to
Whatever works.
Right, sure.
I do always wonder with the whole when they have you taste the wine at the restaurant, like, can you actually return the bottle? Can you be like, never mind?
I have wondered that. I have not attempted. I feel like I don't want to be like rude, although if I don't like it, I'll still drink it. But maybe we could challenge our viewers to do it and let us know what happens.
Exactly. And then continuously do it and see if you could get a full glass of wine out of
Something.
it.
Listen, in Strange Brew, they had an episode where they put a mouse in a beer bottle and they went and
Oh.
got a case of beer because they found a mouse in it,
Oh.
you know.
Oh, that's not okay.
No, but they placed the mouse in the beer to go get free beer. They did it on purpose.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
It well,
Yeah,
it's
I mean,
just
is
an
the
episode.
mouse
We do
okay?
not promote animal cruelty on this
No, it's
podcast.
literally just a movie. Just go watch Strange Brew. It's kind of comical, but to just
There's
get,
it's a movie
yeah,
called
it's called Strange Brew. It's the
Strange.
McKenzie brothers, Bob
Okay.
and Doug McKenzie. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't know this one.
Oh, see, I'm dating myself. Sorry, I
Listen,
apologize.
I just watched Lost. If that doesn't,
Okay.
I'm a little behind at the times. That's awesome.
I actually so. We had some questions and I
Yeah.
actually reached out. So can I ask you a couple of questions from these outside viewers? You
I'm
said you were an
ready.
open book,
I
right?
am. I
All
meant it.
right. So, number one, do you have any whites?
We do. We have a really great line of wine called Vino Borealis. We lightly sell it in some local stores, but mostly on premise at Luvabella Bistro. It's called Vino Borealis. We have an amazing Riesling, an amazing Chardonnay, and Traminette. So the Traminette is almost like flowers melted in your glass. Very floral, very fun, very fresh. It's one of our most unique whites at the moment. But the Chardonnay is a Saval and Chardonnay cross from upstate New York. We source all of these whites from New York and Pennsylvania. And the Chardonnay is very Chardonnay-esque, but has a lot of crispness on the palate. But of course, our Riesling is the traditional Riesling that you could find in the market, but ours is very fruit forward, lots of Granny Smith apple, and of course some fun with the branding of our bottles. So
how far do you go to get your grapes?
All over. So one thing that I love about our business model is that we don't grow grapes. We source from local co-ops across Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and Michigan, but we also work with vineyards out in California. We use a grape broker to help us source the best quality year over year, so we're not locked into a bad vintage. I feel great wine starts in the vineyard, so being able to hand select the quality and not get stuck with bad grapes to get started has been so key to our growth and having reliable wines that people could feel confident in purchasing.
Speaking of growth, and I'll let you finish your questions, I promise. So Greg and Ralph are definitely helping out with this one. So when you just talked about growth, your winery has grown a lot over the past, I mean, really, like I would say about a decade.
Sure.
So when did you start getting involved? Because we already talked about the generational gap that that is amongst all of us. So Marissa is a millennial, where I like to claim myself to be, but clearly I am not. But so when did you start getting involved with your family's company? And when, because you also have your own little side gig happening there as well.
So I actually own Luvabella Winery.
Oh.
I completely acquired the business from my family in 2020. We were able to take what they did over the last...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've had a lot happen too.
It's been intense.
That's recently engaged. I'm
trying to age gracefully, and thank God I have wine to help. But
yeah. In fact, our glass is getting a little low there. No, can you feel that?
I need to drive. Our BlackBerry is pretty potent.
We have these new things called Uber. You can just call one.
Yeah, we're going to tweet Marissa had a Uber car in the parking lot, by the way.
That's There's a little guy that sits out there. You're okay.
Perfect. My family started Luvabella in 2005, and I started Redhead, which is now rebranded as Reds recently, as my own company, because I wanted to learn how to build my own brand from the ground up. I funded it 100% myself from all that I saved from working out in California for about a year and a half.
We'll have to talk about that too.
Oh yeah. I bootstrapped it. I won a grant from the YBI as well through their We Launch program and some other funding. But I really focused on growing Reds for about 2 years myself. It was really difficult. I had to go store to store to hand sell the product. I'm sure you guys understand how it is. And you guys are delivering your own product as well. So that's a whole nother beast, but a lot of hand selling. And I learned through an advisor at YSU, his name's John Rossi. He always emphasized to me, you're only one SKU. What are you going to do? And how are you going to build a brand with only one product? So I thought I was adding a rosé, but what he was trying to tell me, you need to have a multitude of products to grow, be profitable, and really add value to these retailers. Because if I'm traveling store to store, only selling one item, it's really hard to stay afloat like that. So I was like, okay, back in August 2018, I approached my family and said, hey, do you want me to take over their distribution business, which was only selling in Northeast Ohio at the time and lightly in West Virginia? And they said, yes. So I started growing Redhead still as a separate company at the time, but then learning how to grow Passion and Purple Rain. So with that, about 2 years later, I saw an opportunity, and my parents were near retirement. And I just didn't want to wait, because a family business. There are so many opinions. I just want to do my own thing
and
just kind of write my own destiny. Mm-hmm. So with my fiance, who also has an entrepreneurship and manufacturing background, we decided let's keep it in the family. Let's see if they would be willing to sell it to us. And we approached them October 2019 to do this. I had no idea how it was going to go. And my family agreed that it was a great idea because succession, there's a lot of risk and there's still a lot of involvement with that. We decided to buy them outright, thanks to our banking partner, First Commonwealth Bank, for the support. So we took out an SBA loan and closed May 2020, which was middle of the pandemic. I was like, holy crap, how are we going to do this? The pandemic, what's going to happen to the wine business? I'm sure you guys might have already talked about this for all your businesses, but we decided we can do this. We're going to bet on ourselves, bet on our employees, and roll with it. And we grew so much. Mm-hmm. We worked 80 plus hours a week. We put in our blood, sweat, and tears. We grew Luvabella from like a regional winery to now selling in over 7 states and most major retailers.
That's amazing.
It's been a hustle.
Yeah. Yahtzee.
A lot of growing pains, but I think a lot of people don't realize that. So don't feel bad that you didn't know, because it's just so much happened in the last 12 months. I don't expect people to know. It's sometimes hard for me to think about everything. Yeah. It's a wild situation.
I do have to ask both of you, do you remember the first, the depression that we went through, and Avon was like, you know, makeup survives the depression. So join us, because you'll survive any depression, because makeup will not go down.
You know, and they were that periwinkle eyeshadow that they didn't have. I was trying to get, you know.
How are you guys feeling in the business of beer and wine? That truly is recession proof. Because I will say, makeup probably, like, you're not leaving your house. You're not caring whether or not you're purchasing lipstick or not.
And you're wearing a mask. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that was
not fun.
The experience.
Yeah.
But I mean, you guys truly did. I mean, you guys are definitely recession proof.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, talking about the canning line, you know, that was in the works, but it came a little bit quicker. You know, when the state comes in and says, you're shut down, you can't have any consumer come in and drink on premises. So what do? Bars, restaurants are shut down. So the only avenue you can have is, you know, grocery stores. And so that's what we did, was started targeting, you know, and that was kind of like down the road, but it, you know, came sooner than I'd say we wanted.
Give you that added push.
But it pushed us. So yeah, you have to adapt. It's like in the majors when they throw you a curveball, you have to adjust, you know.
I didn't understand that analogy at all.
Well, I hear your product a lot. You guys are really doing a great job.
Hey, you guys are.
When you're up the bat, somebody throws you a curveball, it's either going to strike out or you're going to hit it over the fence. So,
I think, you know, business-wise, whatever you were doing prior to 19 hitting, whatever you weren't doing appropriately or effectively, you should have known how to do better through that, right? Yeah. So to become a better business, all of that time that we spent, you know, in-house, at home, should have made you think about, okay, we have this time now.
Right.
We were given a gift. Maybe somebody didn't call it a gift, or maybe a lot of society didn't think of it as a gift. But the silver lining is you had a lot of time to think about how to get better at something you weren't good at.
Right.
And there's the transparency, is being able to say, you know what, this is our time. Here's how we get better. Mm-hmm. And I think I love the fact, and I guess watching you grow, literally watching you grow, because I've been a part of Oh Wow for almost 10 years now, and seeing you come in and bring your wine in 5-6 years ago and see how professional you were and how mature you were then, it's amazing to see how far you've come and what you've become. And your product is so fantastic. And again, you surround yourself with great people. You know, it's just great, great story.
I remember the first event that I came to was in 2016. I have pictures still.
Yeah.
Aww.
And it was so impressive to watch her walk in, and she's the person. She's the one, you know. So I think it was very amazing.
So what brought you to California? Is that where you went to school?
So I worked at a winery out there.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Right? And to segue a little bit to partly that question is like, did you have a lot of extensive training? Did you have to go through, because you know a lot about grapes and wine and the science behind what goes in. So mm-hmm. Where did that come from?
Yeah. So growing up, learning from my family and whatnot, but I went to Cornell University for 4 years. It was a knowledge and viticulture program specializing in winemaking and grape growing. So that's where everything comes from.
Can you restate that program again?
Enology and Viticulture from Cornell University. It's a school
I don't
in
think,
New York.
I don't think I'd be able to repeat
that. Don't worry. Well, I have faith
we
in
have
you.
We have a spelling bee of that time.
I definitely would not be able to spell
take
it.
That back with me.
But that's amazing. Word.
Thank you.
And then from there, how did you get into marketing?
I just rolled with it. I mean, I started my brand when I was 19 at school for my capstone to graduate. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know what I was doing, but my friend Matt Curtis, he helped train me on how to like pitch and structure the wine as a business and gave me my first foundation. And I wrote a business plan with my friend, a couple friends, and entered in competitions as my written part of the capstone. So I got a lot of industry feedback and positive feedback. So I'm like, well, maybe this could be a real thing. So I worked in California for a collective year and a half, including my internship. And I was like, okay, if I'm still thinking about a year from now, I'm gonna peace out and try it so I don't live with regret. So exactly a year later, I resigned and I moved back to Ohio. It was intense. A lot of change.
That
if
is
I
a lot
had
of
to
change.
Look back, if I had to look back, like if I knew everything I had to go through, but didn't know what the outcome would be, I'd probably not do it because it was a lot. It was terrible. It was a lot of ups and downs, but I didn't give up, thank God.
But that is a huge testament to who you are.
Sure.
Thank you. And I had a good support system and an advisor that really made a difference
right. In
my career.
All of those friends. Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know what I was thinking when I moved back. Did I really think what could be? I had a dream and I wanted it, but I don't know if I actually envisioned what it would actually look like mm-hmm. to live it. If that makes sense. I just saw the steps one step at a time and see what happens. I didn't think about like, the big picture. I just thought about the building blocks.
I think as an outsider, I think the piece that I take from that is just watching you reflect. That's what I appreciate is your reflection on that question. You just questioned yourself. And I think that's,
I
love that as an outsider. I love that because you really, it's a testament to who you are, mm-hmm. right? The resiliency, the strength, the surrounding. You said your friend a few times in there.
Exactly.
Hopefully they're still close to you. You know,
I just talked to Matt today.
Yeah.
He's helping me pick out some champagnes for a menu that I'm building, and he's just a great wealth of fun and resource.
Right.
So,
right.
I try to stay in touch with as many people as I can. Social media makes it so easy. I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst. Let's put it that way. Just depends on the season and stuff or what's going on, but. I really know it's because of all the people that helped me and gave me a chance. You could be talented, smart, have the best product ever, but if you don't have the right people in your life to give you a chance, it makes a difference.
Mm. That's very true. That's very true. That who you surround yourself mm-hmm. is so important. It truly is. And I say that whether personal, professional, either or, make sure you surround yourself with people who are going to bring you up and help support you any way that they can, and not take you down. And I think that, I mean, I know I've experienced people in my life that are those friends that do draw and they take the pull of the energy, and it's okay. to limit your time with those people.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, right. I'm
proud of you. After all of this time, you were able to keep it. Yeah, you mention any names?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you are on the wine side.
I know, that's right. We're drinking wine.
We're over here doing fling flang.
I love my casual clothes, but the days I'm at the office, I try to put a little effort.
We tried to gussy it up too.
To say, how about
we gussied
clothes?
It up?
No, like you guys are doing your thing. Like I had meetings with distributors and stuff today. So.
Yeah, I would have shown up with a cap on backwards and a flannel shirt too.
That's,
I mean,
that works.
It's you, right? And I think that goes back to what you said. Don't waver from who you are.
That's right.
That's your line. I mean, that's who you are. Who knows what, you know, like if we were to put our face on a beer can or a wine bottle, what it would look like. Right. I probably wouldn't sell much.
I would sell great.
The question is, what would the outfits look like together if you had his shirt on?
You like that fat guy a little bit. Yeah.
That would be a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that would be.
Plaid and stripes.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
So do you have a couple other questions on your...
Well, she had really reiterated the whites. So my wife is a... she likes Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know when you were talking about your Chardonnays and the... How did you describe it? The...
Chardonnay and Chardonnay.
Okay. Anything like a... Sauvignon Blanc.
So we have a Chamberson Rosé that, although it's a rosé, I would compare it to a Sauvignon Blanc. It's very unique. Chamberson is usually a red wine, but we decided to be a little different. Our winemaker Garrett headed up the Vino Borealis project, and I would say that Chamberson Rosé is something that she should try.
Okay.
It is such a great wine. It's actually one of my favorites right now. Great for summer. Lots of watermelon, grapefruit, crisp notes. It's a really, really enjoyable bottle.
Awesome.
I don't think I've ever heard watermelon in a wine before.
It's very different. It is a varietal you don't typically see. And one of the biggest ideas behind Vino Borealis, besides the Riesling, we wanted to have one familiar varietal. We wanted to put varietals that aren't typically seen in market in a line of wine just to be a little different. So that's the whole concept of Vino Borealis, besides having one anchor wine, which is the Riesling.
Right. And to segue off of that too, she's really big on, and we go places and you have brewers or you have brew makers or you have wineries and people. She's very big on, what do you drink? Like, what is your preference? And you just kind of disclosed a little bit, like this is your favorite thing now, right? A seasonal, but is there something that is your go-to?
If I'm feeling fun and just want to have a good time, definitely like our passion line, the Purple Rain and my Reds Rosé right now in the summer are what I like to have. If I want something a little drier, I'll have the Chamberson Rosé, which is from the Vino Borealis line. But if I want something a little more robust, we have some new reserves coming out. They're not available yet because we're working on the label design, which is almost done. So we'll have to maybe come back on and show you guys. But I really like our new Cabernet from the Susan Valley.
Oh, great.
So Garrett did a really good job on that as well.
So what wine would you say is good for someone that has their fireplace, the fire going in their fireplace?
Oh, man.
Kind of cold, snowy, or rainy, whatever, gloomy, like day.
Where's this going? Where's this going? Bare skin.
It's Ohio.
Barry White playing in the background. Lisa, where are we going?
What would you recommend that? Well, I was going to say open a book.
Oh. So leave it to the guys on the beer side to screw the whole program.
Depends on what kind of book or what kind of person you are.
Right.
I mean, if you just want to like shed cabin fever and have a good time, like our Purple Rain is such a great go-to. It's a party in a bottle. But, like, if you're really trying to set the tone of, like, a classy night, maybe the Reds Red Blend or one of our reserves, like the Cabernet or the Zinfandel that will be coming out here soon.
Can we get some Al Green in the background? That's great. No, see, I love that you're able to say, okay, if this is what you're looking for, this is what you want to do. And I think people look for that,
right? Yes. People are really, really wondering, like, hey, you know what? I'm going on my first date and I want to really impress this person. You know, what do I do? And I think that that speaks volumes to how knowledgeable you are about what you do. It's right in your wheelhouse. And I think that's what you should do. Like,
but it's true.
Right. Like, if you're good at it, then that's what you should be doing. Sure. I mean, yeah.
I think the best pairing that everyone must try at least once is Purple Rain Concord with a Reese's cup or peanut butter pretzels. Just do it. And just message me on one of my social medias to just tell me how life-changing it was.
Okay.
It's delicious. It's like an adult peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Huh.
Like,
oh.
Oh, my gosh. So delicious. Just trust me. It'll be.
I'm just curious at the difference between an adult peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a children's. Is that with the crust or without the
crust? Literally, the blackberry one.
Yeah. Purple Rain is 13% alcohol. So that's what I mean by adult.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
I was going to ask you if you
could. So this would be, and you weren't here for this, but this would be at our adult amusement park where you can see people brew and then you can see people. What was it?
Pair
wines. What is it that you do? So you brew wine, and then what do you do? Brew what's beer? The process as a vintner?
So you ferment the wine.
Ferment. We talk that's more the about word.
That we don't talk. Brewing is a beer term.
Right.
Yes.
But from start to finish, you take the grapes, you destem, take the clusters off the vine. You'll crush it. Either soak the skins. With the juice to really extract color, or you skip that if it's a rosé or a white wine and go straight to the pressing and extract the juice from the berries, and then you ferment. Fermentation could take to maybe 5 to 10 days depending on the temperature and the conditions, and then you'll rack, remove all the liquid from like the insoluble solids, racking, filtration, stabilization, and then filtering and bottle.
So is the process that you just said, is that the fact, because you said that the grapes and everything that you utilize and the wines that you make, it is a faster process.
Okay. It can be. It depends. Our reserves that are coming out here, hopefully soon by like the last quarter, are 3 years in the making.
Which will be perfect for that time for the reserve for the fireplace. Right.
Yes.
And the book.
Purple Rain only a couple months. So it just, if you're not barrel aging, it's not a long process. It's still long, but it's not many years.
Okay.
So we live in an area, and again, this is a little bit my heritage. So we live in the area of the cookie table. Right. All the Italians would make the cookie table. So here's a question. And it just popped up when we were talking here because you have the ability now to pair. So if I was setting up a wedding and we know the cookie table is out, right?
Okay.
Grandma and grandpa, you know, set up the cookie table.
Yes.
What wines would you pair with our cookie table?
Okay. So the Buckeyes for sure. Purple Rain Concord.
Okay.
Clothespins.
Literally, that was the cookie that came into my mind.
Clothespins.
Oh,
I would pair with either.
If nobody's watching right now, she's got this look. I love it. She's got this look.
Red blend, or I think Purple Rain or blackberry. I think it could be interesting across the board because you have to think about the texture of the dough plus the cream and then the powdered sugar. There's a lot going on there. I forget what the Italian...
The thumbprints?
They're, shoot, the I should know this. My grandma made them. Well, they're the peach cookies. I don't know if everyone has the peaches. They're little vanilla cookies scooped out with vanilla custard inside, rolled in vermouth and clear sugar with a little fake peach leaf on top.
Oh,
they literally look like peaches.
Yeah.
They're my
favorite. I don't
know
if I've ever had that cookie.
I'm having them at my wedding, so I'll make sure I post the pic.
Okay.
They're gorgeous. I mean, almost all the weddings I went to had them because probably my family attended. That's our thing. Peach cookies, I would pair with.
What about a pizzelle?
Pizzelle, we'll do next.
Okay. I was waiting to see if she went.
Probably our peach passion or red sweet rosé. Pizzelles. Depending on the level of anise, okay? Some really dump it in. Some it's, like, just the right amount. But I would pair that with our Chamberson Rosé or a Riesling. What else? What other cookies are out there that I'm missing? I'm sure there's a billion, and there's a bunch of Italians. Like,
what's the Italian cookie that's the different colors? It's green. I think it's supposed to be their flag, but it looks pink, but it's supposed to be red.
Are they braided?
Yes.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the name. Sorry, Grandma, if you're watching. I don't know the name, but I would probably pair them with Red's Red Blend.
Okay.
And we'll do one more.
Let's do an Oreo.
Oh. You know what's funny? I have a YouTube video where I paired Oreos with our wines. And I believe the front runner for the best pairing was Red's Red Blend again and Purple Rain.
Really?
Yeah. I remember the worst pairing I've ever had was Purple Rain and Red's Sweet Rosé with Hershey's Cookies and Cream Chocolate.
I'm not a big Hershey's Cookie and Cream. I've tried it before, but I don't really like it.
I did a Halloween candy pairing last year. So I did like the Oreos with the orange stuffing. So I just try to like think outside the box, but the Hershey Cookies and Cream Ghosts I bought for the pairing, and it sent my soul out of my body. It was disgusting. So, not every pairing is created equal or delicious, but you just have to have fun with it and open mind.
Right.
This is true. So here's a question for both you, Greg, and you, Marissa. Before I moved back home, the area that I lived had the Mars family.
Okay.
Which was definitely a benefit to all of us as they experimented with different types of chocolate that they could put out on the market. There would literally be some guy at the corner giving away free chocolate to people to taste. And I was younger, and you know.
Are you from Chicago?
No. This is DC.
Okay. Well, I think they started Chicago. I don't quote me, but I'm just curious.
But we would go downstairs and just keep collecting and keep throwing like all the chocolate in our desk to have later on because you know that's what we did.
So awesome.
But wouldn't it be great if you guys did that as well? Just had at the corner, like different experiments and things that you were testing out there for people to come and try.
State wouldn't like that.
I was going to say, can you just give alcohol out on the corner?
Sample that Lubabella here and there. Yeah.
Free shots.
Yep. See?
We get a little tasty taste here and there, depending. So we do sample our new stuff or within our group at the winery, we'll taste new products. But we really share with our customers at the bistro, and I'm sure you guys at Birdfish taste and share stuff on premise. But the state would pull our licenses, so
you just can't give away.
We do not support that activity here at Birdfish or Lubabella. For the record,
make it known there are several things on this show that we do not support: animal cruelty.
That's right.
An illegal,
illegal distribution of alcohol.
Yeah. Right, yes. Right, correct.
Case to Wine's listening.
Or what they really should do is just change the state rules and then allow you guys to do that.
Well, call me if you hear anything.
That's right. I think we need to start that petition.
That's too funny.
So do you have any other questions on your list?
I'm trying here. Marissa, I'm trying to help out here with trying to get your line. So basically, one of the big things was your extensive background on your schooling. So can you talk a little bit more about like the knowledge
enologist.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, like if somebody were just wanting to go to work at a facility, you would probably have to have that type of background, right? So when you have your beer makers and your brew masters, they have to have a background, don't they? So when you're looking for potential people to help out with your business, do you send them or do you recommend certain things that they should go?
Sure. Coursework is always something we recommend, but you need to also have hands-on experience. So if you're just willing to learn and you show up every day and you give your best, we're willing to give that opportunity. But it does help to have a strong scientific and math medical background. There's a lot of organic chemistry, regular chemistry, a lot of calculations through a volumetric perspective. You actually have to use algebra here and there. Sorry, kids at home who are listening. It exists in the wine industry. Actually, calculus was invented because people were trying to calculate how much wine could fit in a barrel, ironically. Oh. But it's very intense, but also not intense. It's a very odd dichotomy because you have to have like a feel for it, but also have that background to manipulate the process to have a positive outcome. Mm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure you understand.
Yeah.
Scientific method.
So
I'm surrounded by super smart people right now. Yeah. I mean, this is all science.
Sure.
This is awesome.
Absolutely. And I think it's very interesting. If it might not be interesting to everybody, but I mean, there are certain people out there that I'm assuming that are watching or listening that don't have an opportunity to ask these questions. So if I can do my best to offer those questions out, because I find it interesting. And if there's a way that I can get a child interested, not mixing booze or mixing alcohol, but if you can mix chemicals appropriately,
make it sourdough.
Right, right.
Okay, it's
right.
A great example. Yeah.
Salt it, right, correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of microorganisms involved.
Yes.
Fermentation, the everything.
I mean, right.
Yes.
It's a great and interesting process. Or just talking about how to make pickles or how to make salami. All mm-hmm. of those are fermented foods. So just the science of fermentation, which you guys do promote a great program, leads into these other categories like sure. beer and wine. So there's a lot of interesting foods out there that are age friendly that are fermented. So
that is true.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think it's great. And there's, again, just going back to last year's event, we were doing things, you know, scientifically or just having demonstrations. There are some science principles that you can apply to your empty bottles or to the corks that you were talking about and the reasons why, like, you have different size corks and different mm-hmm. size bottles and different types of things. So I think it's fantastic and totally appreciate being able to sit in this conversation with some really wonderful people. I mean, much more knowledgeable than I am about the wine.
So I'm sure about that. You never know.
So I have to ask, is it true that you're supposed to, if you have your wine set vertically, that you're supposed to turn it like a quarter over a certain amount of time?
Not necessarily. I mean, you only want to store bottles. Well, you always want to store bottles at like 55-ish degrees, mm-hmm. 60 degrees, just for safe storage purposes. But you only want to store wine at its side if it's a natural cork, because the natural corks can dehydrate over time if they're not in contact with a liquid, which could let oxygen in and then spoil your wine with oxidation.
See?
Although oxidation isn't bad.
That's right.
But you don't want it to be extreme and ruin the wine that could have been this very fine wine. So only if it's a natural cork. Lulabella wines, you do not need to age, except you can our reserves. And we try to designate that fairly clearly with not only our price point, but the label as well. So there's a rebrand coming. So
teaser, yes. Teaser.
I can't wait to show the world. It's really interesting. So it's not official, so I can't really say anything yet. But we got the drafts in a couple weeks ago, and they're great.
I love that you went global. You didn't say, I want to show the valley. I want to show the world. Like, you went global.
Ready. I think big now.
You went global.
Right. You have to think big.
Yes, and I encourage all to, because I think a lot of people feel that there aren't a lot of resources, or might just think negatively about Youngstown or the area. There's so many resources. There's so many opportunities.
Well, you mentioned the one YBI.
Yeah, the YBI is a great resource for all who are encouraging entrepreneurship or interested. But I found it very advantageous to be in Youngstown because there's a workforce that need jobs. Although we're still having difficulty filling positions like every other company in America right now. But also a lot of industry competition would look at us like, oh, they're from Youngstown, what the hell? Like, oh yeah, we're from Youngstown, and by the time you notice us, it'll be too late. So.
As she throws up the Y, I love it. If nobody's watching this, there's like some really coolness going on. Like she's throwing up the Y. Yeah, I think it's great. This is a good side. I again, it goes back to just her being mature when we met at, you know, a Science of Brewing event.
I was 22.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm crusty the growth. And old now.
Nah. No. Well, I think we may be the crusty old ones. I think it's just wonderful to be able to sit here and have a conversation with you after all of that and know that you are still breaking through the barrier and moving through and just pressing forward. I think it's fantastic. And it goes back to, it's really cool that you're from this area and you're pumping the valley and you're bringing local people in. So it's great.
And just like you said, when you're like, just don't discount us. But your drive and your energy is that energy that needs to be perforated through to everyone. Because it is true. You shouldn't discount us. There are opportunities and avenues out there to help other entrepreneurs to be successful. And you don't necessarily even have to be an entrepreneur. There are people to help you reach whatever goal that you want to. Mm-hmm. You just got to be open to receiving.
Yeah. And I think you have to also realize, at least for me, I was fortunate to have a support system. When I wanted to give up, I was pushed. I was encouraged. I knew how to find resources. There are a lot of people out there that don't know how to find resources or are afraid to go that extra step because of that rejection. So I can't speak for everybody because everyone has that own experience, but I do encourage, go to the YBI as a start.
Yes.
Have a conversation. They will talk to you no matter what your education level is, your experience. It's a really great thing to have in the community, and they accept anybody. So I just really want people to know that there's a resource for you, regardless of where you came from in Youngstown. It's a hard thing, and I know privilege is talked about a lot, and I had the privilege to learn how to use resources, and I had the privilege to learn how to speak up for myself. But I had to learn over time, and I had an environment that harbored that. So I just feel like I've seen a lot of women through We Launch over the years learn to use their voice, learn about resources, eager to build their own business. So I've seen women from all backgrounds, and I'm only speaking about women because the We Launch program is for women specifically, but there's programs for everybody at YBI.
Yes.
But entrepreneurship is for anybody. I feel most successful entrepreneurs have come from nothing or had a crazy idea and just went for it. So, it's kind of funny. I've been watching a lot about the Titans who built America and all those history shows. And, it's kind of funny that you brought up the Mars business because, Milton Hershey had an employee start Reese's in his town of Hershey, PA. He wanted his own thing. He thought peanut butter was the next best thing and started coating peanut butter with chocolate. And because of Mars, I think it was the success of the Mars bar and Three Musketeers that encouraged Hershey to buy out or partner with the employee that started Reese's. And he was very poor and trying to make it work. So, innovation could happen anywhere. And Reese's, who would have thought, right? I mean,
I know I'm personally grateful.
Reese's could not have been something, but an employee, a person
just went for it
and went straight to the boss and pitched it. And then a couple, maybe months later, he was like, we need the next best thing and decided to partner with that person. So there's a lot of various backgrounds, walks of life who started from zero or had resources. So it's a very interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm.
And in either scenario, you had to put in the work.
Yes.
And you have to put in the time, you have to put in the effort, even with the resources, even with privilege, like you still have to put in the work. Otherwise it's not happening.
Sure.
You're gonna be capped off. and it's not going to work out for you.
And just a trail on that a little longer, I went to Cornell University.
Which is beautiful, by the way.
When I applied, I didn't know it was an Ivy League school because my mindset was I'm going to go to local university and not look, right? But I discovered that they had a wine program. That's why I applied. Well, I thought, you know, everyone at Cornell would be motivated, smart, just cutthroat. It is the case when they're in high school, they want to get in. But once everyone's in, oh, I'm in, I'm good now because I'm going to have a Cornell degree. Hell no. Oh my God. Listen, it was so easy. It was so easy to rise to the top at Cornell. Not top in grades or top in social status. I'm talking about student. Get involved. Talk to your professors. Go to office hours. No one did that. Everyone went to class. Not everybody. 90%. 90% of the students just went through the motions, partied, had a good time, peaced out. I struggled. I did get the best grades the first couple semesters. I got major D's, like 4 credit D's in a couple classes. It was hard. Yeah. And I worked hard. And I thought, I went to these office hours. I learned that a lot of people weren't using those resources or going to extracurriculars that were for professional purposes, right? Like networking or entrepreneurship. And because of that, I was able to keep in touch with the university and I'm still very involved today. And I've had great opportunities because of that. So even when you get where you want, you got to still work really hard.
Heck yeah.
Yes.
And even if you're in a pool of extreme competition, there's a way to innovate or to stand out. I look at that all the time. And I just feel like if you could find your path in what you want to do, over time, you'll figure out how you could stand out or get at least one chance. It could take 2 years. It could take 10 years. You might not have that time. But if you keep chipping away at the block, there's a lot of things that could happen in your life that you didn't think would happen in a positive way.
I agree. And I think that as well, when we're faced with barriers or people that do say no, like figure out your workaround. Like don't let that person be your concrete block. Like start chipping away at it. Figure out like, hey, what are my other avenues? How else can I direct myself to attack this beast?
Sure.
Because in life you get faced with that a lot too.
I agree, and that is funny you mentioned that. But the advice I give to everybody, I'm sure a lot of people who have listened to my interviews just hear it over and over again, but it's just so relevant. My father gave me this advice a long time ago and I never forgot it. The answer is always no if you do not ask. So the fact that you're not trying or you're afraid to put yourself out there, you're rejecting yourself. So if you're afraid of rejection, why are you rejecting yourself, right? You have to embrace those words and just try because you never know. And like you said, you just need one yes, one opportunity, one person, and it could change your life. And that's what happened to me. I had one person believe in me at the very beginning with these crazy ideas I had and kind of moved along and kept getting more support over time. And it's really been interesting.
Now you find yourself an owner of a winery.
Yeah. counting yourself, you had two because you believed in yourself.
Yes.
Who would have thought, like, this is a philosophy program. We just got all deep and we're all shedding tears and like.
So this is the wine drinking side.
It's, you should name a wine philosophy. That literally should be one of your wines because everybody's shedding tears.
It.
Yeah.
I'm going to trademark it tomorrow so none of you think about it.
Yeah, there you go. I'm serious. I mean, we really got some deepness going on there.
Yeah, we might be out there. So if you own the trademark, don't come after me.
No pressure, Greg. What's your words of wisdom? Because, I mean, you too, you were in a completely different field before you went into brewing.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
That's a man of many words.
So I went to Marietta for petroleum engineering.
Yeah.
Did that for 10 years. And
that's intense.
Yes. Yeah,
so worked in the oil and gas industry and traveled Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio. I enjoyed it. I was young and, you know, there was a gap in the industry, you know, because that industry is just stability aspect of it. It's not very good. So when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad. So, I mean, there was certain gaps and I worked hard to get where I was before I kind of left. So just like management stuff and, you know, I was thrown in at a young age. And so definitely was able to learn a lot and like mature a lot through those years. And then started like the home brewing stuff and, you know, people coming over for homebrew days every other weekend. And hey, you should think about doing something. So it's me, my two brother-in-laws and a cousin that are owners. And it was Josh. He's like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it before I'm 30. So we signed a lease. You know, I grew up, my family started G's Pizza World. So around Salem and, you know, Washingtonville. And there
so you had it in your blood.
One up in Alliance. So like business, and you talk about the customer's always right. You know, my parents wouldn't even hang a Steelers flag or a Browns flag in the place because, you know, just because of that reason was, you know, people get torqued up about just things like that. So, you know, I
like the outfit I'll never wear again.
So I grew up in that, you know, family restaurant, family owned restaurant, but obviously never ran one myself or anything like that. So, you know, I was happy where I was in the oil and gas stuff. I had a good job. My wife, you know, she's a nurse, but you know, at the time we were having kids and, you know, she was able to stay at home. We were, everything was stable. Everything was good. And, you know, it's just, you know, you talk about, you know, life goals and like what you satisfaction for yourself. You know, I worked in the big corporate world and, you know, have been slashed of being one of eight people that helped start a multi-million-dollar company when things got rough. And that was kind of like brought me back down and was like, what are you doing? You know, missing kids' birthdays and stuff like that, that you gave your life to a job rather than to what's really important around you. So that was kind of like the transition of, okay, I'm ready for this if it ever gets to that point. And then as the business grew and, you know, the branding and got our name out there and that continued, it got to a point to where it was, hey, we either need to hire in or it's time. Yep. So, you know, it was kind of one of those things. You step away from what you've been doing, what you went to school for. And
yeah, but now you can be the softball coach for your girls.
Yeah. So, and that's the other thing too, is like, I would never be able to do that. So both my kids, you know, play softball. And so involved with softball, soccer, you know,
and you're involved basketball with the community. And,
yeah. So doing everything with all that is, I would have never had those opportunities working for the man. So
yes,
being able to do that. And
nobody wants to work for the man.
Yeah. So it's, nobody
wants to be the top dog.
It's been a fun journey. You know, it's been hard. It's a lot of hours. You know, there's some days we're double batching up. You'll see my truck there at 4 a.m. And, you know, we're brewing and doing, you know, 15-hour days. And so, but when you're sitting with a group of people and they're drinking your product and, man, this is so good. Like, you know, and creating an atmosphere for people to come and gather and just be social and laugh and cry and whatever the case may be of why you're there, you know, typically people come out happier than how they came. And having a space to be able to hold these different tips for causes and things like that, to be able to give back to the community is awesome that we've been blessed to be able to give that to the community. So,
well, I know that I am triply blessed today to have Craig and Ralph still here a week later.
Seriously, we haven't even changed.
And having Marissa finally like being able to connect and meet with you has been great. You did bestow so much information and so much great advice to people out there, and I hope they take it in and they absorb it and then they apply it. So
that's a lot.
It is a lot, but I mean, all three of you are in a a great position because you guys can have, and you guys do have, such a strong positive impact on people. Like it is one of those things that people do, adults, kids, whatever it may be, look up to you and they say, hey, if these guys can do what they're doing and be happy where they are, then so can I.
That's the dream.
So cheers. Yes. Should we do your, you have to have, you can't not have any.
And we'll have some.
A little splash. A little splash. Yeah. Non-committal splash. Good. Just a little sip. That's all we need.
This is how we're gonna end on the toast again. Okay, so here was the toast earlier. It was, I do not stand below you. I do not stand above you. I stand directly next to you because you are my friend. Here's to true friends.
Cheers to that. Cheers. That's lovely. Okay.
Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at PlattInsurance.com.